Chapter 6 and verse 1. This is the only day in the history of this entire time in the basement that the front row is too close. And there are absolutely no seats here. Verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men. Now, alms probably had that. By the way, this is just one little piece of giving. Giving to help people in need. But Jesus says, make sure you do it, but don't do it before what? Oh, I need to turn this on or Frenchie will flip out. It's on. He goes on to say, to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues. Now, of course, some people in the room here would think, well, I've never used a trumpet. The idea is you don't let other people know what you're doing. Amen? It's not their business. Actually, it gets stronger than that. It actually takes it to another level. So, look at verse 2 again. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, and this is just one portion of giving, giving to help people in need, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. But why would they do that? That they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, and I would assume this would mean, folks, look at me, any way you give, tithing, missions offering, projects, whatever you do in the giving business. Got it? How about obey the scripture? Look what it says. By the way, let's actually obey it. Let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Which means basically what? Don't keep track of what you do. So let's ask a question. There's a church right over here that keeps track of everybody's giving publicly by name. Who's number one? Who's number two? Who's number three? Who's number four? Directly violating Scripture. Why do they do it? To guilt people into giving more. We don't have that problem in this church. We have the problem in this church. A few people are nosy. Drop your nosiness. And if you're nosy, you know who you are. People are now giving around you because they don't want you to know what they're giving. Drop your nosiness. But more importantly, don't even give in a way where you remember that you gave. Why in the world would you keep records? Do you think God is impressed with your records? Yes or no? I think you give what you give because you love God and you want to support the ministry and you move forward. Simple as that. So, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Otherwise, don't keep records. That thy alms may be in what? And thy Father, which, and this is a beautiful phrase, thy Father which seeth where? In secret himself shall reward thee openly. This is one of many, 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 many texts about money. We're not going to talk about that this morning. We're going to go back and talk about tithes and offerings. If you have notes, we'll look at those notes. We won't go very far today because it's almost already quarter after. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this group this morning. Thank you for the young men that are coming to America to get some training and hopefully raise a little support so they can go back to the Philippines and various areas and serve you. I would ask your blessing on these young men. I would ask that you increase their group. Certainly we need some sound, biblical thinking men in the Philippines who aren't geared to craziness but actually can preach the Word of God, handle the Word of God, lead people in a healthy, biblical way as the Pauline epistles repeat over and over, that healthy or that sound doctrine, that which produces healthy people and which is healthy in and of itself. Bless our time now, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. If you have notes, we are on the second page. In the top of the second page, we were just starting to discuss motives for giving, both false and good. So let's ask a question. We have how many guys here? Rolando, you have four. Pandak, you have six. Wow. So I'm going to ask the question of the pastors. Dada, myself, there's three of us here. Do you really care if a person gives for improper motives as long as they give? So, someone gives improperly. Should we say, wait a minute, you're giving for the wrong reasons. We won't take your money. What? We'll still take it. Okay. Depends on the string that's attached. Tim doesn't want to answer the question. Yeah, you're not going to know. All right, guys, you're all Filipinos. What do you call strings attached in Tagalog? How about utang na loob? Otherwise, somebody gives you something and they expect something in return. Should you take money from somebody that does that? Yeah, most Filipinos will. And that's the reason we have, not among your group, but that's the reason we have so much foolishness in the Philippines, where you have Baptists. Now, by the way, are you listening? Baptists who call themselves a bishop, like the Roman Catholics do. Now, how do they pull it off? By the way, they pull it off for a very simple reason. They have money. So a young guy comes here, his name is Sam, and another guy comes here, and his name is JJ. You got to have that. And you have another guy, his name is Junjun. And the bishop has, you think I'm being funny, the bishop has money, but the bishop's not giving you money because he loves you. He's giving you money to do what? I know your relatives. What is he trying to do? He's trying to control you. He's trying to buy you. Yes? You take money from him, you're a fool. Because he owns you. Hello? He owns you. And I see all over the Philippines, guys now literally kissing people's rings in Baptist circles. Amy. You didn't have to name the place. By the way, this gets down to where the rubber meets the road. That Amy is on to something most of you wouldn't know about, but there was a gentleman, we'll use that term loosely, that had adopted some children. Now, by the way, Amy, the wife was complicit with the sin, of course, because unless she's a total airhead, and I don't think she was, and they had a couple of daughters. By the way, look at me, this is creepy. Had a couple of daughters that were, he was doing something with those daughters. And it wasn't tic-tac-toe. But the church did very little because he gave as much as, I think, like almost as much as the whole church did in one offering for the, I mean, it was huge. You all with me? Now, you try that here, I'll tell you what will happen to you. After we beat you half to death, we'll call Tom and have him arrest you. Hello? You say you shouldn't beat people half to death, only half. Listen, folks, this stuff goes on. Should a church sell its soul for money? By the way, sister, but I'm a pastor. I got to pay the bills. Everything comes down to it. You got to pay those bills. And you're a young guy in the Philippines, and you don't have anything. And, you know, you're down here in the middle of, you're in the middle of Leyte, guys. That's not as poor as Samar, but you're in a pretty poor area, and you don't have any money. And some bishop comes along and says, I'll give you some money. Yeah, and you're going to give him something too, your soul. Look at the notes. We talked about this, and of course, my buddy Dave is not here this morning. So I'm going to have to quote Dave because he said something that just shocked me after the service. We talked about false motives for giving. One of them would be greed. You think that's true? You don't give to get, folks. Greed is a very bad motive. I don't know where, there's a two or three verses that you can take to mean that. On the other side is fear, and I think fear enters into this. And greed and fear kind of go together a lot of times. So you can have a little greed, you can have a little fear at the same time. How's this sound? Greed is, you can't outgive God. And there's a piece of truth in that, kind of. What's fear? If you don't give, God is going to judge you. That's the other side of the guilt game. Do churches use that? Yeah, of course. Sometimes it works. Ma'am. May I say this, and I'm not trying to defend whoever they are, but they have the same problem. They have to pay their bills. And sometimes people do go to pretty far extremes to pay bills. The founding pastor of this church, which personally helped me immensely, personally. He had other issues later on, but personally he helped me. I think he helped Mike. I think he helped the old Mike over here. I think he helped a bunch of old guys. But I'll say this, this church was so far in debt and had so many needs, and he wanted to build the largest church in the world, you know, on a shoestring. You start saying things and doing things to raise money. You're not in that position, okay? So don't think you can quite grasp why people do what they do sometimes. It takes a lot of money to run organizations. It just does. I don't like it, but it's true. By the way, the next one would be guilt. And my buddy Walter, about 3 weeks ago, said guilt is okay as long as you're guilty of something. But other than that, guilt is a terrible motivator. And may I ask you, all of you, and by the way, I'm glad we got young guys here. Why, by the way, if you're a Filipino, first of all, you were born guilty. Pachungay? Yes, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Filipinos are born guilty. It's a Catholic background, yes? Guilt is fine as long as it's guilt over I'm doing wrong, but not guilty because you exist. Now, in this room, and I don't have anybody in mind except one person, if I preached a lot of guilt, the only people that would feel guilty are the people already giving. So I could get Rhonda to feel guilty. She'd want to sacrifice even more. But the people in our church who never give, do you really think guilt's going to work? Guilt does, nothing affects them. Nothing. So you say, why don't you use guilt? I only use guilt is if you're guilty. But guilt usually has this game. We've talked about this a couple months back. Guilt usually also plays with this. Two other words in English. So you take somebody that's a sweet Christian like Rhonda. She's like her mother, not like the other person in the family. And you take somebody like her, and what you do is you say, you know, you need to give more. Or you're not giving, well, then what's enough? And you never describe what enough is. And I said this, I'll repeat the story. I'm in Bible college, back in the dark ages. I'm going to school full-time during the day. I'm working full-time at night. And I went to hear a bonehead, and I'm going to say his name because he was stupid then and stupid now. Roger Castile preached in chapel. Roger Castile didn't have enough brains to wipe his nose. He preached one of his famous sermons, and every sermon was the same sermon. Here was every sermon. Look here. Do more, work more, give more, go more. And I'm sitting there in chapel thinking, I am working full time. I'm going to school full time, and on the weekends, I'm working in a ministry. There ain't no more to give. his sermon 100% backfired on him for me, because I realized this is a game. By the way, the people that ought to give don't give at all. When Bambi broke this out for me 3 or 4 years ago, it was like there was 11 families or something at that time, and it was like, what? They just, giving doesn't enter their thinking. They're never giving. So what am I going to do, make Rhonda feel guilty, and these boneheads over here do nothing? Drop the guilt. Guilt is a terrible motivation, in my opinion. Unless you're guilty of something. Yes. Divine judgment is also connected to fear. There's an element of truth to that. Now, Miss Awesome, you know, you are awesome because you're married to Mr. Awesome. That's the only reason you're awesome. Your husband said something right after the service that I knew, but this is part of false motivations. This is a small group of people of which we don't have here. But you will have people that are looking for this. Power and or, Jenny, is this spell right? Leverage. No A. Thank you. Leverage. Now, I had a cousin. I have a cousin. Is this spell right? Oh, just leave it alone. Nancy. Nancy, I was going to be nice to you today. I've changed my mind. Many years ago, my cousin by marriage, he's been in this church. He's a great guy, Mike Mahack, my wife's cousin, actually. Mike, it's a good family. Three brothers, good guys. Mike's pastor now up north of Madison, part of the Wisconsin Independent Baptist Fellowship. Mike took an assistant pastor in the church in Illinois. My goodness, Jenny, this has been 25 years ago. And I remember talking to Mike, and I said, Mike, how many people go to your church? He said, 50 to 70. I said, are they paying you? And he told me what they were paying him. They were paying him more than I made as a pastor. And I'm thinking, how in the world are they paying you with this little bitty church? Mike found out. So, see, you young guys are still young. Old pastors immediately know the game. There was a guy in that church, one man. He gave 75% of the money in that church. And guess what he did? When he came to that church, he came to that church intentionally because he could buy himself a small church. Hello? Now, let's ask, by the way, and Mike Mahack, if, you know, I'm very gentle, kind. Mike is my polar opposite. I don't think Mike would disturb a flea. But he got crossways with that guy that gave 75% of the money. So let me ask, where do you think he went, Tommy? What happened to my cousin? He was gone. Why? Because this man gave 75% of the money of the church, and he wanted leverage and power. Now, this is just for these young Filipino pastors. Guys, if you listen to an old guy, not as old as Frenchie, but old, if you ever run into this, and you maybe will never run into it in the Philippines, but you get a person who gives this kind of money, you would have to decide what you're going to do with that money. And here's what you couldn't do. You could not run your church on that money. When I was pastoring in St. Louis, a guy walked into our church. He had gotten a bonus. It's a little bigger bonus than most of you get. He got a $650,000 bonus. Now, some of you still aren't listening. He wanted to buy some things too. He flat out tithed right up front. Now, you think about this in the offering. One piece of paper, $65,000. Now, if you're in a church like First Baptist of Dallas, which is probably still one of the wealthiest two or three churches on earth, they make that kind of money. But normal churches, $65,000 extra. What are you going to do with that? We're not talking pesos, by the way. We're talking dollars. So just multiply that times 50 pesos and you know what you have. What you going to do with that? Somebody out there answer what you're going to do with that. Oh no, you don't know me on that one. No, what should a church do? Seriously. Well, of course you use it, but you don't use it in the budget. You understand? You don't use it in the normal working budget. Because what if he doesn't give $65,000 next year? You take that money and set it aside for a project of some sort, or projects. And that first day I said, guys, we're never spending that money. That's project money. Otherwise, that guy had done what? He had bought some power and leverage. I'm not as dumb as I look. Tim. No. People wouldn't do that, would they? That comes right from your husband. See how he's cruel? He's got that evil side. That's because he's been married to you how long? That's the reason. No, actually, that's wisdom. He recognizes that. I could think of that, but I hadn't thought of it for false motives because I don't ever go into a church, but here's the funny thing is, the guy that gave $65,000 in one offering, are you all listening? Now, our church in St. Louis was a decent size, but the church he had come from had 30 people. When he left St. Louis, after I left and came here, he went to a church in Texas that had 30 people. Why? He was trying to buy himself a church and buy himself a pastor. Sir Walter. Yes. Yes. Yeah, you run into some legal problems with this. I know this. By the way, young guys, you ought to listen to me. You're going to run into the bishop over there who wants to give you money. And just as long as you understand utang na laob, you understand this ain't no free gift. There aren't strings attached. There are chains attached. And they're going to wrap those chains around you and use you. Ooh. Look at me, friend. I love everybody in this room except Frenchie. Everybody knows that. Frenchie, did you hear me? I even love Frenchie because of Lois and Rhonda. Other than that, not so much. But you hear me. If you come to me and try to play games with money, I will send you packing. I've run into that stupidity before. I had a guy in St. Louis talk to me, and he was real clear. He said, if you let blacks come to this church, I'm taking my money and leaving. And I'm taking families with you. And I said, now, I'm not as nice as you guys. I said, you see the doors? Don't let it hit your big fat on the way out the door. You say people say things like that. Wait a minute. It happens in a... I know a white church on the south side back in the 30s where blacks said the same thing to whites. If you let whites come to this church, we're leaving. Racism is every place, folks. You've got to decide what kind of church you're going to pastor. All right, we'll move on. Anybody have questions on that? You understand leverage? Most of us don't think this way, correct? Yes, Brother Sam. So it's just part of the culture. You bribe the boss, you bribe the government, and you bribe God. That's interesting. Well, Sam, I just want you to know we live in the Chicagoland area. Are you ready? And we don't have corruption in Chicago. Oh, my goodness. There's another thing that somebody said last week, and I want to put it here on the false motives. Attention. I have never been able to decide. I'm not saying it's wrong. I know churches do it. I know Lake County used to do it. We used to give, and if you gave a certain amount, Mikey, you remember these days, you'd get your name on a plaque someplace, or you'd... Is that wrong or right? I don't know. All I know is one summer they said if you give an extra $1,000, you'll get your name out there. I gave an extra $1,000, and my name never showed up out there. So I've been bitter for nearly 40 years. And I think they took Mike's name down from out there. So I don't know if that's good or bad, but let me just say this, folks. Look at me. Really, giving ought to be about you and God, don't you really think? And I don't mean that you don't give. I mean it should be about you and God. I mean, he loves you. You love him. I mean, it just kind of makes sense to me. But I think attention can come into this. Well, what are some good motives? Help me with some good motives. Raise your hand and help me with good motives. Those are some bad ones. Well, I didn't even have that one down. Thank you, Mike. Obeying Scripture? That's not a good motive, is it? So what do people do when you tell them that they should? Scripture teaches this and they won't do it. What else? Love. Love. Do I have love in there? I think I do. This goes back to our 1 John 4:19. We love him. And then John 14:15. If you love me. It's pretty straightforward. That's just pretty basic. And let me just say this, long term, why do you do something? Why do you do what you do? Hopefully it is you actually like people. And you like God, you love God. Nancy, what did you just do? You spent a week, 10 days, is that right? In the Dominican Republic. You sent me some pictures. I still don't know how you didn't bring that one baby back. Is that hard? Because these are children that were displaced, and now they're living in the Dominican Republic, and they're living in not much. And do you help support that? And you do it, why? Because you're going to be famous by doing it? Some of you that are nosy, and you know who you are, you have no idea that there's lots of people like Nancy in this room that don't talk to you about what they're doing. Nancy, I appreciate it, but when you held that baby in your arms, my thought, I'd put that baby in a suitcase someplace. That baby's coming home with me. Wait a minute. My daughter, I have a very big heart. Now, I would then hand it to your mother. I don't know what to do with the baby, but I think another one, obviously, is this. How about this one? I think gratitude's a pretty good thing. I think it's just simply you're grateful for what God has done for you. And I think that's probably a pretty good thing. You know, for some of us in this room, you do live in the greatest nation in the history of mankind. Yeah, we have our problems. We have problems with taxes and all kinds of... But may I say this? Everybody in this place lives higher than people... When I go back home and talk to my mother and talk to people that age, most of us have 2 or 3 bathrooms. Yes? How many people had one bathroom 50, 75 years ago? Yes, down by the lilac bushes, specifically where I grew up, Walter. Yes. Every time I come back from the Philippines, and some of the places I stay in the Philippines are very, very nice, but a couple of them are not as nice. And every once in a while, you go into that little bathroom, and it's Filipino size. It isn't this fat white guy size. And I look in there, and down at the bottom, this is how I judge a place to stay. When you walk into the bathroom, do they have the ubiquitous bucket and dipper? Timba at tabo. Because if they do, I'm thinking, oh boy. This means they have water pressure some of the time, which usually means they don't have water pressure in the morning when you need to take a shower. So you fill that bucket up, and Every time I see Pearly, see, they have those, if you got to look at that little stool that people sit on. They get down on this little stool and pour, but see, I can't get down on that stool. I would crush the stool also. It's a little bitty stool. Ann, did you guys use those too? You did. God bless you, sister. I look at that little stool. So what I have to do is I have to do this. I have to bend way down for that bucket, pour it over my tall head. May I say this? Every time I get in the shower, I'm very grateful. How about you? And it all works. Gratitude's a pretty good thing, I think. How about this? To me, this is a simple one, too. How about it just simply having a desire to share? Is that a good thing? My goodness. A desire to share. Why don't we turn our Bibles to Galatians, if you would. Galatians 6. We're not going to get very far today, but that's okay. Everybody fine? By the way, verse 9 and 10 would be great passages for you to begin memorizing Scripture if you don't memorize Scripture. Paul says in verse 9, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And that includes money and giving and investing. He says in verse 10, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." I think there's just something beautiful about being a blessing to somebody, if we can. Look over at 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 17. These are the positive ones. And then, Ade, I'm going to come to you and Linda because I want to ask you a question. But I'll read these first. Look at verse 17. "Charge them that are rich in this world." And who would be rich in this world? Yeah, all Americans are rich. Now, they're not. Now, people in other countries think we're rich in a different way than we are. They don't recognize, yes, we have more than they do, but we also have more bills than they can imagine. The average Filipino, when I talk to them, they think we're wealthy, and comparatively we are, but oh my goodness, if they understood the amount of debt most Americans are in, and the fact that, you know, cars and everything, what they cost, but we're wealthy. So what does he say? "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded," which means trust, you know, you're not impressed with yourself. Look at what I have. "Nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God." Then my favorite phrase in all this text, "who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." Then he goes on to say, well, there's some other things you can think about when it comes to money. In verse 18, he says that they do good, that they be rich, not just in money, but in good works. "Ready to distribute, willing," and to communicate means to share. Same phrases, really. You're just ready to be a blessing to other people. Then verse 19 even takes it to a level higher with investing your money, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. I mean, these are great verses about money. To me, that goes back to your notes. So let's look back in your notes. We've talked about love. We've talked about gratitude. We've talked about a desire to share. And how about a desire to invest and help? A desire to invest and help. Let's turn our Bibles back to Matthew 6. I'm going to ask Frenchie because he knows all things weird. Frenchie, who is now the richest man on earth? Not even close. You guys don't know. He just passed $100 billion. Jeff Bezos, the owner of Amazon. Now, let's just say in this room, I'm going to put up here, Rhonda, and Jeff. By the way, you have to think this way. Now, everybody, by the way, one of the most important verses is Matthew 6:21. Look at it. For where you're what? When I talk about a willingness to invest and help, folks, look at me. We're going to raise money starting next Sunday for our books. The books are going to go to the Philippines, and the books are going to go to East Africa. It, really, in one Sunday, this church should raise enough money to buy those books. But there's some people, oh, there's nobody in here quite like Jeff Bezos, okay? Let's not be goofy here. But old Rhonda is already calculating. Say, how do you know this? I know Rhonda. Does she make a lot of money? Not independently wealthy, I don't think. But she wants to invest. Other people, their heart is other places. Their heart is in their toys. So they have iPad 1, 2, 3, 44, 96, whatever the latest one is, because we got to have toys. Or they have 12 computers. By the way, guys are the worst at this. Yes, ladies. Guys like toys. Lord only knows what for. You can usually only play with one iPad at a time. Hello? So Rhonda, and I'm just going to make up a number. Rhonda's going to give $180 for 10 volumes. I don't know Rhonda's budget, but my guess is Rhonda, that's probably not a quarter for Rhonda. So the Jeff Bezos guys, they look at Rhonda and say, yeah, I'm going to be a blessing. I'm giving $300. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Hello? Problem is, too many of us compare. Well, I give more than Rhonda, so I'm okay. No, you gave much less than Rhonda. Much less. First of all, your heart wasn't in it. Number two, your money wasn't in it. Now, I'm not asking for anybody's money. I'm not looking out there saying, man, I'm going to, because I really don't know who gives. But I want to say this. To me, where your treasure is, that's where, just look where you put your money, that's where your heart is. Is it that simple? Yes or no? I think it is. Well, let's finish this part off, and we'll be done at least with some motives. We'll pick back up here next week. Lastly, how do I say it? And we're not going to have time to get to where I wanted to go. I say willingly. Good motives are those things done willingly or with a free will. Folks, this is your homework for next week. Stop. This is your homework. I will ask you, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 4. Paul makes an unbelievable statement in that passage. By the way, 1 Corinthians 16 is not about tithing. It's not about missions. 1 Corinthians 16 is about helping the poor in Jerusalem. And he tells them something. Look up here. He tells them something. I don't want there to be any offerings when I come. I want you to have an answer why that's true. Why did Paul want them to raise the money before he got there? Okay? Let's stand. Thank you. It was fun. And Linda and Ade, I never got to the question. And the question is about the motives. I want to go to that next week. Let's pray, please. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for our time together. Bless our time in Christ's name. Amen. Good to see you.